Genesis chapter 3, if you're looking at a familiar part in Scripture here, Adam and Eve, the fall of man. Why do I have to get old? Why do I have to get sick? Why do I have to die? Why do all these bad things happen? Because of sin. S-I-N, right? Sin. Because of Adam, sin entered the world. And now we have to die. Now we have to get sick. Now we have to lose our hair. Our hair has to fall out, right? All those things. We're going to look at this here today, Genesis chapter 3, and we'll ask the question, why did Adam and Eve sin? Why did Adam and Eve sin? Genesis chapter 3, look there at verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, not a gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Why did Adam and Eve sin? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we're grateful to be in your house today, Lord, but I do need you. I pray, Lord, that you use me here, but I pray, Lord, you fill me with your Spirit now. I pray you give me your power, your wisdom, your knowledge, your words here to speak today. And I pray, Lord, that you use me here to do whatever it is you have me to do here today. And I pray, Lord, you'll speak to those here today, Lord, and maybe somebody doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven. Lord, I do pray for their soul today, that they will call on you today to be saved. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, from the beginning, God's dealings with man on earth were perfect. There was no evil in the world. There was no sin upon this earth. God gave Adam and Eve everything that they needed. He took care of everything. He withheld no good thing from them. They were in a perfect place. And they had a perfect relationship with God. So why did Adam and Eve sin? Now, this is a great question, isn't it? And maybe one day when we get to heaven, we might ask Adam that. But for now, we know that we have God's Word. And we know that God's Word tells us that the day came when Adam disobeyed God and ate from the forbidden tree, and sin entered into this world. In Romans 5:12. For it's by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, when they sinned against God, they did everything that they could to avoid taking responsibility for their sin. They blamed each other. You know, Adam blamed his wife, and he even blamed God for giving him the wife. And Eve, of course, blamed the serpent. But it didn't matter, did it? God wasn't interested in their excuses. He's not interested in our excuses either, is He? God does not matter to God. God gave the command. They disobeyed the command. And now the judgment of death must be handed down. Now, a lot of times this is the same thing with us. We sin. We do something. And many times in our life, we refuse to take responsibility for what we've done. We refuse to take accountability for our sin, for my sin. We want to blame others as well for our sin, don't we? Right? We want to blame our parents that they didn't raise us well enough. And we want to blame our friends because they let us down. And we always want to blame the preacher because he just wasn't a good enough preacher. Well, hey, let me tell you, there's just not enough time in the day to do all these things that I need to do, let alone read my Bible, let alone pray, let alone go to church. There's just not enough time. Well, you know what? I'm just too old. Well, then I'm just too young. I can't do this. We see we all make excuses, don't we? Excuses. They go on and on and on. But listen, we can never get forgiveness of our sin until we take full responsibility for our actions. You see, nowhere in the Scriptures does God excuse anyone's sin for someone else's actions. It doesn't happen. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? Sin came into the world because of Adam here, disobeyed God, and that's been passed down to us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And one day, whether you would like to admit it or not, you will stand before God. And you will give an account of your life. We will be accountable for our actions. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, he tells us, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. We have to give an account. And this is just the judgment of the saved. We're not getting into the judgment of the lost, but this is the judgment of the saved. And we'll have no excuse when we stand before the Lord in the day of judgment. Adam and Eve had no excuse. When they sinned, they had no excuse. They could not blame God. They could not blame God, and neither can you and I blame God when we choose to sin. Adam and Eve chose to sin. So why did Adam and Eve sin? Let me give you a few reasons why Adam and Eve sinned. Number one, they didn't take God's Word seriously. They didn't take His Word serious. Now, you're in Genesis 3, but look at Genesis chapter 2 in verse 16 and 17. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The command was given. The command came from God. He gave the command not to eat of this one tree from the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat from it, because if you do, you're going to die. Adam, listen to me. If you eat of this fruit, you're going to die. Oh, can't you just hear him now? Oh, this Christian life. This Christian life is so difficult. There's so many rules to being a Christian. I just don't know if I can keep up with all these rules. I can't do anything without all of these rules. Obviously, God just doesn't want me to have any fun. Listen, God gave Adam and Eve a choice. He gave them a free will. Same with us. We have a free will. But it was a very simple choice. It was an easy choice. There was only one restriction. And the one restriction only came from one tree in all of the garden. They could eat from every other tree in the garden except for this one. Now, from man's perspective, you know, because we know lots of things. We're smart, right? Right? From man's perspective, Adam's sin does not seem like a very big deal, does it? He ate some fruit off a tree. What's the big deal, right? But listen, Adam and Eve did not take God's Word serious. The command was given, and we do the same thing. Many of us treat God's Word the same as Adam and Eve. We do not take it seriously. We do not take God seriously. And I can't help but think when I read the account of man here in the sin, and then you read chapter 4 with Cain and Abel. I can't help but think if Adam would have taken God's word seriously, if he would have known that he was going to be put out of the garden and of the perfect place, and that he would start to die, and he would have died spiritually, there would be a separation from God. And you go into Genesis chapter 4, and he would see how sin would affect his family with Cain and Abel. Can't help but think that if he would have known that, if he would have taken God's word seriously, would he have not taken the fruit? Would he have not eaten the fruit? You see, we have everything we need. If you're born again, you have everything you need to live a victorious Christian life. You have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. If you've been born again, He has indwelled you. Now, I get it. We live in a wicked, evil world. Right? The devil he knows he's in his last days. He's doing all he can to get us to devour us and destroy us. But we have someone more powerful within us, the Holy Spirit of God. And no matter what pressures come from this world, it's no excuse not to take God's word seriously. But we do, right? So many times we choose to not take God's word seriously. You know, we have the command of assembling for church, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Yet we don't take God's word serious, do we? We stay home Sunday morning. We stay home Sunday afternoon. We stay home Wednesday night. Why? Because we don't take God's word serious. The command is there, but we don't take His word serious. Now, He doesn't mean go to every service. Not every service, right? Yea, hath God said. No, the command is there. We're to assemble when we assemble. Hey, we don't take serious God's word when He talks about being holy. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hey, look, He calls us to be holy. He calls us to be separated. He calls us to live a life unto Him. I'm not the same person I was before. He changed me. I'm a new creature. I've been born again. I don't even want to look at what I used to do. Don't even want to think about what I used to do. I'm set apart for Him, to serve Him. Why? Because He died on the cross and He shed His blood out for me. Me, a sinner. A nobody, condemned to die, but He poured His blood out so that I could have eternal life. But too many times we don't take God's word serious. We don't take Him serious in this matter of worldliness. In 1 John 2:5, He tells us, love not the world. Another command, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, get this, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love this present world, He says, the love of the Father is not in you. You cannot love this world and love God too. Now, worldliness is a thing. I get it. Man has always been in a battle with worldliness. We have this flesh on us. The world draws us in with our flesh. The devil draws us in with this flesh, and it's a constant battle. But the command is still there. It hasn't changed. We're not to love the world. We have an example in Scripture with Demas. Demas walked with Paul. He saw a lot of miracles and things happen, and he walked with Paul, but yet the Bible tells us that Demas forsook Paul because he loved this present world. Right? For all we know, Scripture points that he was a saved man, but the world got to him. The lures and lights of the world got to him, and he loved this present world. You know, I can't imagine if somebody, you know, when they died, they got to heaven, and they get to heaven, and they're like, you know, I'm in heaven. You know, I wish I would have worked longer hours. I wish I would have made more money. I wish I would have gotten a better job and made more money and bought that bigger house and bought that fancy car and just went out and partied more. I wish I would have done all those things. I can't imagine that when you get to heaven and you see Jesus Christ, I can't imagine, and you see heaven, I can't imagine that you would think anything like that. Cannot imagine. In James 4:4, he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Again, you cannot go side by side in the world. and God. It cannot happen. You cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. But what happens too many times, we don't take God seriously. We don't take His Word seriously. God has given us His Word so that we would not be deceived by the devil and by the false doctrines that are out there. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look, it is important in this day and age that we're living in, especially, that we do not turn from sound doctrine. Get this. Sound doctrine. Bible doctrine. Okay? It's important. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, look there at verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Verse 2, preach the Word. Right? Preach the Word. What's the Word? Right here. The Bible. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Kind of sounds like today, right? So many people want to go to that big church, right, where their ears are itched, where there's no Bible preaching, there's no conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. It's all about activities. It's all about feelings, right? It feels good. It's all about the classes. What class would you like to join? Well, we have this class and this class and this class. Nothing about Bible. He just told us, preach the Word. All right? We're to preach the Word. Why? Because there's false doctrines out there that are going to lead you astray. There are people out there that want to do nothing but destroy you. They think that preaching and the preacher should entertain them. No. I'm not here to entertain. I'm here to preach the Word. Right? This isn't about being entertained or entertainment. This is a matter of life or death. You got to get this. Every time a person steps in the pulpit and preaches is a matter of life and death. So many people right now are dropping into hell. They're dying and going to hell because people want to play games at the pulpit. It's not about games. It's not about entertainment. It's about preaching the Word. It's about not flying away from the doctrines that God has given us. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's all the power of God. It's no power of man, not at all. It's the power of God unto salvation. You see, too many people playing games in the pulpit. Women preachers, divorced pastors, that's not God ordained. That's not in the Bible. God is not God is against that kind of stuff. You see, when you take God's Word, when you don't take God's Word seriously, that's what happens. That's what you're left with. You're in 2 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Or actually, let's go to 1 Timothy 2 first. I want you to see this so you don't think I'm making this up. This is good stuff here. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Verse 13, for Adam was first formed in Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived in the transgression. Hey, look, women are not to be pastors. You still don't believe it? Look here. Look down there at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse number 1 says, this is a true saying, if a what? If a man. How much more blunt can you be? If a man desire the office of a bishop is another word for a pastor. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the what? Husband of one wife. Hey, look. People turn away from sound doctrine because they don't want to hear the truth. That's just Bible truth. People don't want to hear it. They've turned away from the truth. They don't take God's Word seriously. And let me tell you, I know. Sometimes truth hurts. Sometimes truth hurts, doesn't it? But that's part of the Holy Spirit conviction. of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Truth hurts, but when you're faced with the truth, when the Holy Spirit of God brings you to a point where when you're faced with truth, you have to make a decision. And that hurts, doesn't it? That hurts. You've got to make a decision. What are you going to do? You see, too many people don't want truth. They want relative truth. They want relative truth, which is relative to me. It's my truth. I've made it up in my own mind. And that is not truth at all. That's the kind of truth that just changes and blows with every wind and doctrine there is. That's not truth. God's Word is truth. That's the only way you'll find truth. You can search anywhere, go do whatever you can, think of. You're never going to find truth until you get in the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. I think it's time we started taking God's Word seriously. What about you? Number two, Adam and Eve listened to the wrong person. Turn back over into Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve listened to the wrong person. Look there at Genesis chapter 3 in verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Look at verse 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Hey, listen, the devil is real. The devil is not a myth. He is real. He is not a figment of our imagination. He is our adversary. He tries to devour us and destroy us. And he wants to get us to forget God's blessings. He wants us to get us to think that more about what we don't have than what we do have. Right? God has blessed them. He put them in a perfect place. And Satan is trying to just put a little doubt into God's Word. You see, Satan did not say, "Oh, how good God is," right? "He's given you 10,000 other trees to eat from." He didn't say that, no. He points just to the one tree, to the one fruit that God said don't eat from. You see, Adam and Eve listened to the wrong person. A lot of times, again, we're no different. You give us a list of things we can't do, and what do? If I say, "Don't touch this wall, it's wet paint," what are you going to do? Every single one of us are going to go over there and touch to see if it's wet. We tell our kids not to touch the stove because it's hot. What do? They touch the stove, right? Tell us something we can't do, we want it. But look, in verse 4, Satan's a liar. In verse 4, the Bible says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Look, God said they would die. God said, "Thou shalt die. You will die." And now Satan is lying. He's trying to tweak God's Word, and we got to get this. Satan is the father of lies. He's going to lie to us. He's going to deceive us. So many people in hell right now, if we could just open hell, look down at all the people in hell, and say, "How many of you did the devil lie to?" All hands would be up, right? The devil is a liar. In John 8:44, he says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He goes on, he says, "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The devil's a liar. This isn't something that we can just be gullible on. Satan wants to do whatever he can to destroy us, to devour us. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your kids. He wants to destroy Gilead Baptist Church. And hey, just because a person professes Jesus Christ, or they say the name Jesus Christ, don't think for one second that they will not lead you astray, because they will. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. I got a list of verses here I want you to see, so stay with me. Matthew chapter 7. Don't assume just because somebody says the word Jesus that they will not try to lead you astray. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 15. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Hey, Adam and Eve listened to the wrong person. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 says, "Beware." Look, pay attention. "Beware. Pay attention to what's going on. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Hey, look, beware, they're out there. Beware, they've been here before. Beware, they're coming back. Beware, they're outside the doors. Beware of those false prophets. Why? Because they look just like us. They look just like us. They're dressed in the same clothing. They might even talk Jesus. But what? Inside they're what? They're ravening wolves, wanting to destroy, wanting to devour. You got to pay attention to these things. These things are real. These things are out there. Hey, Adam and Eve, listen to the wrong person. Don't ever let somebody tell you different from the Word of God. You got to know the Word of God. Don't let them say, oh, it's only a couple words difference. It's only a couple words difference. It's not going to matter, is it? Yes, it matters. Thus saith the Lord, it matters. Right here is the Bible that we need, the King James Bible for English-speaking people. That's it. We don't need any other perversion Bible. All we need is the Bible, right? King James Bible. If anybody on the internet, on the TV, at work, at the grocery store, you name it, tries to tell you something different than what's in the Bible, you need to get away. You need to turn your ear. You need to get out of there. Hey, sometimes that's a friend. Sometimes that's a family member. Kind of hard to, right? But you got to do it. You got to turn away because they're going to try to bring you down. Remember, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. All right, turn with me to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. I want to show you these verses here. Because Adam and Eve listened to the wrong person. We don't want anybody in here to listen to the wrong person. We only want to listen to God's Word. What does God's Word say? Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. It says, now I beseech you, brethren. Right? Paul wrote this. He's talking to the brethren, talking to the saved people. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Right here is the doctrine that you've learned. The Bible is the doctrines that you learn. Right here. Mark them that cause division. Anything contrary to the Word of God, mark them and what? Avoid them. In verse 18 it says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. But their own belly. And look what else he says. And by good words and fair speeches, they sound good. They say the right words, but inside those right words, they've mingled a little bit of, yea, hath God said. God didn't say you surely, Bible. Just a little bit of doubt. Just tweaking it a little bit, right? Their good words, their fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. They're trying to deceive. They're deceiving the hearts of the simple. And if you would, turn to 2 John chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. Verse number 10. 2 John chapter 1, verse 10. Second John chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. 10 and 11. It says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. All right. Jehovah's false witness. Right? We all had them come to our house before, right? Do you talk to them? Do you invite them in? Do you say God bless? Do you say have a good day? Do you say do good, keep going on? Jehovah's false witness don't even believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Right? If Jehovah's Witness or anybody else comes to the door, you're not to invite them in and neither bid them Godspeed. In verse 11 he says, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You're just as evil as they are in that situation. And so I don't have time to look at these other ones, but 2 Thessalonians 3:6, if you want to write that down, and 1 Timothy 6:5, I was going to look at those. 2 Thessalonians 3:6, 1 Timothy 6:5, I was going to look at those, but we don't have time. I got to move on. Adam and Eve listened to the wrong people. They listened to the wrong person, okay? Leading people out there leading people to hell, we got to pay attention. All right? Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Don't listen to the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." All right, so number three, Adam and Eve didn't take God's penalty for sin serious. They didn't take the penalty for their sin serious. Get back over in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3 and verses 6 and 7. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. They didn't take the penalty of God's word serious. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Hey, Adam was there. Did you get that? Adam was there, but he didn't get involved. Look at verse 6 there. It says, "Gave also unto her husband with her." Adam was there. Adam was with her. Husbands, fathers, so many times we're there. We're present, but we're not doing what we should be doing. We're not leading our home the way God has commanded us to do that. A lot of times we're content to be there, we're content to be present, but we're not involved at all. We're not involved in spiritual growth. We're not involved in any of the decisions being made in the home. We are commanded to be the spiritual leaders in the home. Ephesians 6:4. You see, Adam was not deceived by the devil's lies. Eve was. And that was 1 Timothy 2:14. We saw that. But I can't help but thinking, when he saw Eve eat the fruit, and he thought, she ate that, she's going to die. Oh, I don't want her to die. I better eat the fruit too. Right? So he ate the fruit. I don't know. We don't know what happened. But all we know is he ate it. Whatever the case might be, he ate it. And Adam was the one that was held responsible for it. Adam was to teach Eve. He was responsible. Adam is the one that was given the command. He was supposed to teach Eve, "Hey, husbands and fathers, we're going to give an account. We'll give an account for what we did in our home, how we raised our kids, what we taught our kids, what kind of church we took our kids to. We're going to give an account for that." And Adam's sin, we know the penalty for it was death. They were kicked out of the garden, and they began to die. Physically, they died spiritually. They were separated from God. Penalty for sin is death. It always has been. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Hey, when they ate of that fruit, they became sinners. There was a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The ways of death. Let me give you one more here. Adam and Eve sinned because they didn't understand God's plan of redemption. They did not understand God's plan of redemption. They're in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This is the first prophecy of the coming Messiah. The first prophecy that Jesus Christ will come. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." First promise of a Savior coming in the Bible. The Savior will come and he will destroy Satan in order to reconcile man back to God. Now, when we talk about grace and we talk about mercy and we talk about the love of God, this is what we're talking about. Adam and Eve just sinned. The judgment was carried out, and Adam... And then God tells them, "Hey, I'm going to send a Redeemer. I'm going to send a Messiah. I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ. He is coming. And it's all undeserved. We didn't deserve it. We do not deserve it. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And He did that all for us. All for us. He didn't have to. He could have just left us there. He could have left us there in our sin and said, oh man, it's just sinners. But He gave us the promise here in verse 15. He tells us that Jesus Christ is the promised seed of the woman. This is the prophecy that of the incarnation of God coming through the virgin birth. You see, Jesus was born of a virgin. He didn't have an earth father. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. But also here in verse 15, we see that Jesus Christ will be bruised in His heel by the serpent. This is the prophecy of Jesus Christ dying on that cross, shedding His blood. In Isaiah 53:5 says, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All of that He did on the cross. And this is the promise that happened back in Genesis chapter 3 in verse 15. Satan is enjoying a little bit of success, if you might say, but it's limited. He is ultimately going to be cast into the lake of fire. His time is going to be up here shortly. In verse 15, we also see that Jesus Christ will bruise the serpent's head. You see, Jesus died on that cross. Satan thought, oh, I won. But 3 days later, what happened? He came out of that grave. He rose from the dead victorious. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. And it was all done. Adam and Eve didn't understand God's plan of redemption for us. They didn't understand that. But ultimately, that's what we have. I'm closing here, but I want you to look at verse 21. In Genesis 3, verse 21, so after they sinned, Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves upon themselves to cover their nakedness. And God said, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. He says here, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Who clothed them? Who made them? God. The coats were made by the shed blood, from the shed blood of an innocent sacrifice. This points to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who will innocently die for the sins of the whole world, for your sins, for my sins. He would die for us all through His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And John 1:29 says, the next day John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, an innocent animal had to die here this day for Adam and Eve to be properly clothed. Clothed in the righteousness of God. The fig leaves wasn't going to happen. The fig leaves wasn't going to work. That was their own righteousness. That was Adam and Eve trying to cover up in their own righteousness. And God says, no, it's got to be by the blood. It's got to be by my righteousness. I've got to grant you righteousness. You see, you've got to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ in order to get to heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see, it's all through the blood. It's all through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not works. It's not a church. It's not being baptized. It's not hoping so or thinking so. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, that He died on that cross, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. And if you trust Him as your Savior, if you believe on the finished work of what He did, you call on Him by faith, receive Him as your Savior, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God wants to give you a gift. Will you receive it? Will you accept it? The penalty's already been paid. Jesus already died on the cross. He's already paid the penalty. But the Bible says you must receive Him as your Savior in John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You got to believe on Jesus, not Buddha or Muhammad. You got to believe on Jesus, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. He is the only one. He is not some way, one of many ways. Listen, all roads do not lead to heaven. All religions do not lead to heaven. Jesus said He's the only way. In 4:12 He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, that's love. That's God's love. So when you talk about God loving us, that's what we're talking about. Loving us, sending His Son to die for us. But what are you going to do? If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you might want to do that here today. You can do that here today. You've come to the right place. Jesus says you must be born again to get to heaven. But you say, I've already done that. I'm a Christian. I know I'm going to heaven. Well, Christian, are we living our life like Jesus could come right now? Are we living our life and are we taking God's Word serious? Do we take His Word serious, or is there some things in our life that we need to change? You see, Adam and Eve listened to the wrong person. Adam and Eve didn't take God's Word serious. Adam and Eve didn't take God's penalty for sin serious. And Adam and Eve didn't understand God's plan of redemption. We have the whole Bible here today. We can understand God's plan of redemption. And if you're here today, you need to be born again. In just a minute, we can show you from the Bible more on God's plan of redemption. If that's you here today, I pray you'll just step out and do what the Lord will have you to do. Let's pray.